What did 1997 in LA smell like to you?
A lot of cigarettes. it was grungy, but we were washed even though we didn't look like we were.
Right. Like you wanted to look like you haven't slept in a week because it's chic.
Yes, that's it. But LA has this incredible smell, mm-hmm. which is you've got the mountains, right? You have these incredible hikes, this almost dry, arid soil, which lets off the smell of like dirt in the most beautiful way. And then you have so many people. So you have the kind of gasoline and population of Hollywood. But that smell to me just, I love it. It's like you can smell it sometimes in the morning and it's just LA to me. And I wish I could capture it more, but it's really hard.
Welcome back to Scent World, a show that explores the power of expressing yourself through scent.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Scent World. I'm Marianne Macheskiw, and I am honored to be here with one of the clean fragrance pioneers who I think started the very first clean fragrance brand that was billed as such, the legend, my fragrance bestie, Rosie Jane.
Well, thanks for that amazing introduction. I mean, I would love to think that I'm absolutely the pioneer of clean fragrance, but I'm sure someone else is going to be like, I was actually the first. So, yes, but I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. And I've been a fan of the brand for so, so long. So this is a huge honor for me. I feel like Layla Lou was my gateway into the world of Rosie Jane. I remember smelling it so vividly when I had just graduated college. I think you launched in 2010, and I had just graduated college. It was like my first big girl job and a big girl scent to go with it. And I love what you do. And I can't wait to dive into your story and all of our favorites and some of the newness that you have going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, and I love that you say gateway for Layla Lou. We always describe Layla Lou as the gateway drug into clean fragrance.
Yes.
Because it had those traditional notes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's I'm honored to be here and ask me anything you want.
Amazing. So let's kick it off. I would love to start with the story behind the very first clean fragrance brand because you launched in 2010 and I feel like that word is a buzzword now. People all have their different definitions of clean, but I'd love to hear how this started for you.
You know, I think like anything, you know, that happens in a wonderful way, it happens organically. Mm-hmm. For me, it came out of nowhere. I wasn't planning to do like a clean fragrance brand, but I was a makeup artist. I had created my own fragrance that I wanted to be my signature calling card, right?
Oh,
I always wanted people to be like, make sure you book me that makeup artist that smells amazing. Ooh, yes. Even if they couldn't remember my name, right? So I was like, I wanted to have that impact. And when you're a makeup artist, you are like a hairdresser. You're very personally connected mm-hmm. to the people you're working with. You're touching them. You're in their personal space. So the way that you smell, has such an impact on that. So I created this fragrance, which was nameless at the time. And I wore it and people loved it. And I was like, great. And they were like, can you make some for me? And I was like, yes, of course. And I'm handing it out and I'm doing all these things. I then have my first order in 2007 and I'm wearing this fragrance and I'm still kind of like, oh yeah, great, whatever. I'm handing it out. It's beautiful. And then it sort of dawns on me. I have no idea what I'm really giving people, mm-hmm. what I'm putting on my body. You know, when you look up the ingredients in fragrance, it really nothing would come up.
Yeah.
And we're talking kind of early days still of like Google technology.
It's
not like it is now. And that's really, for me, it sort of opened up this can of worms where I was like, okay, can I have this product but not have some of these scary ingredients that are popping up for me, hormone mm-hmm. interrupters, you know, all of those things. And also this mysterious version of the word fragrance, right? Like people are like, I don't know what goes in it. No fragrance company had to talk about what was in their perfumes.
Yeah.
So that's how it sort of started for me. And it started small. So I went to a fragrance house and I was like, what if I made this fragrance for the people that I'm giving it to? How would that look? And that's how it started. In the most innocent way.
That's amazing. And that was Layla Lou,
That was Layla Lou, which was my daughter. Layla was the first daughter I had. So I had this fragrance and then I was like, okay, now I have to name it after her.
Take me through the creation process when we were making those first iterations, when you were blending them by hand and wearing them to visit your clients.
You know what's crazy is because I wasn't thinking about it for anybody else other than myself, it felt like it happened very easily, right? I don't remember, like I remember sitting over definitely a bottle of wine and playing around and just not taking it all very seriously, right? Like really being like, do I love this? Do I not love this? And I think I sort of kept that process a little bit when I created every other fragrance since is, you know, I ordered a bunch of notes that sounded like they might be interesting, like something that I would want to wear. And then you start playing around, you know, with I have no formal training in that at all. So Leila Lou was, you know, just such like lightning strike, right? It was just lucky, I always feel like, that I just sort of landed it and then was able to recreate it. And then people, it resonated with them so much.
So much. And I feel like you spoke a little bit about fragrances that kind of inspired that. Can you tell me a little bit about the fragrances that held a special place in your heart that started that journey?
You know, I think like a lot of people, probably in my generation particularly, the way that you experienced fragrance was what was given to you.
Yes.
Right? Your mom would give you something or your grandma would give you something. And that sort of, you were like, okay, this is what I'm going to wear. So for me, it was always those classic fragrances. So Ané Ané, which is just solid flowers, right? Yeah. And it's still now, I don't wear that fragrance now, but I definitely keep it, smell it, I love it. And I think that unknowingly when I created Leila Lou, it sort of threw back to those classic fragrances. What my mom would wear, she would wear Arpège, my grandma would wear Paris, Yves Saint Laurent, right?
Yes.
Which are beautiful, floral, heavy fragrances. So the inspiration for Leila Lou unknowingly became this lighter version of that. Yeah. Right? Like this wearable, soft, but floral, had fruit in it. You know, that's Leila Lou.
So I do love how you describe it as the white tee and blue jeans of fragrance. And that's so true. You can kind of wear it for any occasion. You can dress it up, dress it down. And I mean, I just love that. We're dressed appropriately.
We are. Hello. We're in our twins. I love it. I mean, blue jeans, white tee is something, again, it never goes out of fashion.
Exactly.
Never goes out of style. And there's a million different ways to put it together, right? You can have every person can have a different sense of style and still wear a pair of blue jeans and a white t-shirt, whether you rip it up, whether it's a tank top, whether it's like ripped jeans, you know, like I always wear the bubble jeans, right? It's just, there's so much individuality that you can put into these two incredible staples. And that's what I love about it. And also when I was creating fragrance or when I really was looking at bringing it to market, fragrance was always pushed as this very seductive, very like gold lamé dresses, like dripping gold. It was always very formal, felt very sort of distant, and like a lifestyle that you were trying to attain. And when I created, I was like, I'm creating a product that I need to fit into my life.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted. I wanted it to have this, you know, everyday, casual approach to it, but something that's amazing and special that you can add into your everyday at the same time.
Exactly. And that's exactly what Leila Lou is for me. Like, I will wear it for a night out with the girls, but it's just as fitting in situations like this where you're just like talking one-on-one with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
It doesn't offend anybody at the office. It shouldn't. I feel like anytime I wear it, I get so many compliments.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to smell it now.
I know.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna spray it. So yeah, Leila Lou is, I mean, it really is. It's like this fresh, fruity floral is the way that I would describe it. You know, you have pear is the top note, then you kind of come down to a bit of jasmine. There's tangerine in there, which is not one of the notes that we talk about a lot, but it gives us this freshness.
Thank you.
Every time I smell
it. Oh my gosh, that pear note.
It just reminds me of when I mix it every time. And I don't wear Leila Lou every day, but every time I come back around to it, I'm like, damn, that's a good fragrance.
It's a good fragrance. And I think because I discovered it during the springtime, the pear note, as soon as it hits me, I have this association of springtime and finally getting to have an open window after a long winter. It's
I always say that I'm a solar-powered human being.
Yes.
I love the sun. I love the warm weather. And that's what this is. It's just like that, like, early, you know, in LA, even though it was not really inspired by LA, but, you know, in springtime, you get that night blooming jasmine that explodes through the air.
So beautiful.
And you have that jasmine in here, and then you've got fresh cut grass. And that gives it this, like, softness and and fresh again. Like on the green note is what I think allows it to not be too sweet mm-hmm. and not too floral, not too fruity. It just sort of, it taps so lightly on each note.
It really does. And I feel like even people that will tell me, oh, I don't wear florals, they love Leila Lou because it veers fresh. It's a little bit fruity. And then I think the tangerine really gives it, I don't know, an optimistic. Can I?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's great. Right? I love that. An optimistic. Yeah, of course, because it's sort of sparkly, you know. Citruses mm-hmm. always have that sort of sparkle to me. But yeah, and it's, you know, it just has this laid backness to it, which I love. Does. And it hits onto the classic. And that's why we would always say it's the gateway into clean, because I think a lot of people, when they thought of clean in the beginning, they thought of very polarizing fragrances, right. very niche, like heavily wooded, something that, you know, was probably like, if you live in Silver Lake, which I used to, everyone always assumed that you smell like patchouli, right? Yes. Everyone's like, oh, you're wearing a niche fragrance or, but this for me, it like lightly hits on that classic mm-hmm. so that more traditional fragrance wearers are more likely to sort of gravitate and be like, oh, okay. Because it's clean doesn't mean that it's going to smell like essential oils.
Exactly. What does clean mean for you and your brand as you formulate fragrances?
In the beginning, it started out as very literal, right? So it was like, okay, I want to remove certain ingredients if I can and create these beautiful, complicated mm-hmm. notes. And then now as a brand, because we were very much just product-based.
Yeah.
And now as a brand, it means so much to me. For me, it's about how we package our product, how we formulate. It's eco-friendly, our impact on not only environmental but community, yes. all of these bits and pieces. So I think clean sort of stands for, is another way of saying, you know, a good brand, mm-hmm. right? Like someone who's really invested and putting stuff back, giving back to their communities, environment, all of those things.
And you do that so much. I feel like when I first met you at it was the event where you were doing the Leila Lou,
the jeans
and the white tee. And then your next event, we were at your beautiful warehouses. And
oh, yes.
I feel like I just got to know you better and better as these events went by. And then we got to pack some bags for charity. And yes. that was so nice that you give back to the communities and you give back to the communities that you're in because.
Yeah. I mean, it means a lot to me. And I think we do have a give back, which is environmental. And then, of course, community driven.
For
and
sure.
You know, I feel like we have beautiful products and, you know, you forget that not everyone just has the ability to be like, you know what, I'm going to buy a $25 body wash and yeah. I'm going to buy a $75 bottle of perfume. But those little touches in people's lives make a huge difference because it reminds them, you know what, this is something that I can do, that I want to do, exactly. right? And it's just, you know, it's like having sunlight into your bedroom. For me, it's like, I want everyone to be able to experience it. So yeah, we give as much as product as we possibly can. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes people feel good and yes. it goes with the whole ethos. And I know the brand feels very laid back and cool in a way that kind of merges your backgrounds. Like you grew up in Australia
yes.
and then you moved to LA in the 90s, right?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Which is so wild. So I'm old. I should say. I'm not old. I'm 47 now, but I moved to LA in 97.
Okay, fun.
Oh my gosh. It was completely different. If anyone's seen the movie Swingers, that is yes. what my youth was like in LA, where it was house parties, it was dive bars, it was a lot of fun, a lot of drinking, a lot of awesomeness. But, you know, I loved LA. It still had that the same to Sydney, mm-hmm. right? Outdoor living in the summer, very much. Everyone is all about the warm weather, laid back, friends. My favorite.
I love that. What did growing up in Sydney smell like if you had to bottle it?
Ooh, I mean, Sydney is a beach city,
yeah.
right? So it is this major metropolitan city smashed together with like a surfing community.
Yeah.
Which, so for me, it's always like salty. It smells like frangipani, which is like yes. plumeria. It smells like sunscreen, mangoes. Oh, mangoes. Oh. And Australian mangoes, they are only grown, I think, there and in one other place in the world, and I can't remember where it is, but they're huge and we have Christmas in summer. So for me, the smell of mangoes and Christmas trees, which are totally not what we grow in Australia, they ship them in, but it reminds me of the summertime. So that's yeah. what I always think of. It's, you know, just happiness.
Holiday in Paradise.
Oh my gosh, it's the best. It's the best.
What did 1997 in LA smell like to you?
A lot of cigarettes. it was grunge, right? Yeah. It was the era of grunge. And that's where I think Dulce came about for me, is when I was mixing Dulce. I was like, you know, vanilla, the original vanilla that I fell in love with,
okay,
was that era, right? It was like that, you know, Kurt Cobain was this grungy, unwashed human being, yes, as we all knew him, but smelt like vanilla, like pure vanilla essence, right? It had this sweetness to it. And that's what I wanted to sort of touch on. So it had that vibe, right? That's where it was grungy, but we were washed, even though we didn't look like we were.
Right. Like, you wanted to look like you haven't slept in a week because it's chic.
Yes, that's it. It was literally like you'd just thrown some outfit together that, you know, looked like you'd pulled it out of like a dumpster.
Love
but,
that.
You know, it didn't. It was probably, you know, very expensive and thought of. Yeah. I always think of that green cardigan that Kurt Cobain wore.
Yes.
Everyone, I mean, now, of course, it's like priceless. But yeah, that's what LA smelled like to me. But LA has this incredible smell, and I wish that I could bottle it better,
mm-hmm,
which is this sort of, again, you've got the mountains, right? You have these incredible hikes, this almost dry, arid soil, which lets off the smell of like dirt in the most beautiful way. And then you have so many people. So you have the kind of gasoline and population of Hollywood. But that smell to me just, I love it. It's like you can smell it sometimes in the morning, and it's just LA to me. And I wish I could capture it more, but it's really hard. The jasmine is what
it is. Yeah.
But that dirt smell of LA is amazing.
And it's so interesting that you had a makeup artist background and then you decided, you know what, I'm going into perfume.
Yeah.
Staying within the realm of beauty, but getting like almost more scientific, because makeup is an art and a science, but formulation, like that's just so impressive.
You know, it sort of fell in my lap in a way, right? Yeah. Like I would have, if you had have asked me as a makeup artist then, especially in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, are you going to, you know, look to do fragrance brands or anything? Mm-hmm. I would have been like, absolutely not. Like it was just something that I sort of stumbled into and loved and realized that it was such a heartstring for me and that I related to it and that I was obsessed without even, you know, because I'd never thought of it as a career. So I realized how much smell and aromas impacted my mood and my life and my memories. And so once I sort of delved into it, I was like, oh, well, this just feels like a no-brainer now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, I always feel like things just sort of come into your life in a way. And if you can grab that opportunity when it's there, it's how you have to go.
They definitely do. And, you know, it comes at the right time. And you never know, like the best thing's just around the corner.
Well, and again, when I started Rosie Jane, I was selling in one little tiny boutique on Larchmont Boulevard, which was owned by a girlfriend of mine. The store was called Noni. It was a clothing store. I was not really selling it. I was giving it to friends. And then she asked me, hey, would you give me 10 bottles to put in to my store over the holidays? And I was like, yeah, all right. And I had this shitty old typewriter that I bought from a garage sale. So I typed up all of the labels and I glued them onto the bottles.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, it was just called Layla. I didn't have the Lou on it because Layla Lou is her full name, but I was like, oh, I'll just do Layla. And I put Layla hand-filled by Rosie Jane. That's how it sort of started. So I did, she sold out in like a week. She was like, I need more bottles. And I was like, okay. So I filled more and then I kept gluing them. And then I was like, there was another brand called Layla, like the Spirit of Norway or something.
Oh, okay.
There was another fragrance. And I was like, ooh, I should have a different name a little bit. So we did Layla Lou. And then I printed stickers that said Layla Lou on them. And then it just in tiny, it said by Rosie Jane. But we didn't have boxes. We didn't have anything because I didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, we would just do these little bottles with a sticker on the front, not even really knowing or understanding how to communicate the clean word to people. Because as soon as you said, you know, clean or natural, people assumed it was 100% natural. So yeah, it was great. That's how it started. And then we literally grew one store at a time until 2018 when Sephora came knocking.
Oh my goodness. What was your reaction when people, I feel like Layla Lou, like we said, it's a gateway and it resonates so differently and it's very important for so many different people.
Yeah.
What was your reaction when like this fragrance that you were just hand mixing by yourself just a few years prior became the one with a cult following?
You know, it's like I know how good that fragrance is, yeah. Right? It's like you love it, but it hits something so special for people that I'm still in shock and in awe, I think, of all of the fragrances that resonate with people. And I'm like, it's something I don't think that you can put into words, right? Mm-hmm. It's like just magical when something all works together. It's like I always think of it like when you write a hit song or you have an incredible movie. There is just some sort of chemistry that happens around it that if you were trying to make it, you wouldn't be able to. Do you know exactly. what I mean? If you're like, I'm going to make the best-selling fragrance of all time, mm-hmm. it has to come from a genuine place. So my reaction is always like gratitude and surprise still today.
Yes. But I mean, she was lightning in a bottle and still is.
I mean, Layla Lou literally put me on the map. It was unbelievable how much people resonated and loved that for fragrance. Sure.
I'd love to go into the rest of the collection. Yeah. Dolce, you brought up about how it was kind of inspired by the 90s. Dolce. And
yes.
That one went viral on TikTok.
Again. And so this is what I'm saying. It's like this kind of crazy, you know, Dolce was my sixth fragrance.
Okay.
I want to say six. So, you know, it was not every fragrance has these like amazing moments. That's mm-hmm. what's so special about them when they do. But we had just come out of or were going through what we were all living together, the pandemic, right? We were all cooped up and I wanted something that sort of felt light of heart. So when I originally started, I was going to make three fragrances, okay. right? I was going to do like a trio, like a wood, keep it really simple, a citrus and a vanilla, because vanilla was not my favorite kind of fragrance, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't like them. They always smell cheap. They're overly sweet, all of these things. So I was creating that trio, working on it. And the vanilla for me that I was working on, I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of obsessed with this. And that's sort of how my love affair came back with vanilla.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's like, I love how recognizable it is. The vanilla is like right at the top mm-hmm. and it's at the base. So vanilla is traditionally a base note, right? Yeah. But with this, I was like, I want people to smell it in the bottle and be able to be like, that's a vanilla fragrance. So many vanilla fragrances that I had smelled, they had a vanilla note in there, but you have to wait for the dry down.
Right.
Like even for us, we have Lake and that is very citrusy at the top and the vanilla really hits at the bottom. But with Dulce, I was like, no, I want people to know what they're getting. But I wanted something that felt lighthearted.
Yeah.
That felt like when we were all in bars touching each other and hugging each other and not thinking, oh my God, do you have a temperature?
Yeah.
Do you have a mask? It was like this crazy time and I wanted something that felt nostalgic. That took me back to a time where I was like, all I cared about was making enough money to go out with my friends. And, you know, I met my husband then, we were dating. And it just felt like easy in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was craving that uncomplicated thought process where we all were. So Dulce is, yeah, it's vanilla. It's two kinds of vanilla. It's a French vanilla, which is like very sort of creamy, and then a vanilla bean, which is much more green. And that's where you get this kind of combination of this sweet sort of dessert-like vanilla mixed with a sophisticated like cooking vanilla.
Yeah,
right?
I was just going to say, like, at first when you sprayed it, I'm like, it reminds me of walking past an ice cream shop and you're like, I'm going in and I'm getting a cone. And then you see the expensive vanilla with the black flex in it.
That's it. And then, you know, we have like a base of a hinoki wood in there and a musk. So we love to say it's like vanilla ice cream with a shot of whiskey on the side. Or now I was in Italy and I was like obsessed with affogatos.
I love an affogato.
Oh my God, that's all. So I could have just lived on them. I was like, that and spritzers should have just been my diet the entire time.
I love that.
But that's what this is. It's like it had, and it dries down to be this more sultry kind of sexy vanilla. Mm-hmm. But I love the simplicity of it at the same time. And of course, like all by Rosie Jane fragrances, I love a musk. I will always add like a skin musk or a white amber at the base because I love, like the idea, like morning after fragrance is mm-hmm. what I would say. I love the way that fragrance smells, like when you get it on your clothes the day after. So I always want to try and create that for the immediate, where it just dries down to be like a subtle second skin that you can smell. People love it, but they have to be within your sort of personal space a little bit to smell it.
Oh, I love that.
It's probably, now I say it, coming from my makeup days, where it's like, you can smell it on me when I'm close to you, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to take over the entire room.
Yes, and there's something to be said about that, because I love, you know, I love laying it on thick, but I don't want to give people a headache, no. you know?
Yeah, you know, you don't want to be the person where you can smell them after they've left the room exactly. for like an hour and a half later.
I was talking to my friends about this. I lived in a building in New York for a very long time. I lived in New York, and there was a lady that I would never catch her in the lobby, but she always smelled like Terry Mugler's Angel, which oh, wow. I love
it too, yeah.
And I would always catch her in the elevator right after, and I was like, okay, there she was. So
I remember my amazing sister-in-law, her name's Lori, and she is a Leila Lou junkie, oh, nice. Right? And even for me though, I'm like, Lori, you're using too much perfume. And she smells like Leila Lou, but yeah. she bathes in it. I swear to God, she like rolls around in the morning before she gets dressed. I'm always like, how much did you put on? And she's that person. But even for Leila Lou, I'm like, I smell you when you're close.
Right.
And once you've left the room, you're gone, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. How do you apply fragrance so that it's not too much, especially after working with people in such close proximity?
Yeah. I mean, I love an oil. So mm-hmm. that's why all of our fragrances come in a perfume oil amazing. As well. So because I love that it's strong, but it's still personal, and it really uses the heat of your body to kind of open up. And instead of in an eau de parfum, it's the alcohol, right? That's right. really what's going to open everything up and get you all of those notes. But I do both. So I'm a layerer, so I love a perfume oil, which I have with me all the time. And then, I mean, I'm a what would you call this?
Spray and walk through?
Yeah, yeah. I just am like, I'm like a crazy sprayer. I never want to see the wetness on right. my skin. When I see people doing it, I'm like, no, mm-hmm. don't go so close. But I am like, you know, I spray it everywhere. I do like 15 pumps all
just
down.
Just like a veil.
Yes, exactly. And then the roll-on is my favorite.
Okay. So I would love to dive into Rosy.
Yes, I know. And now I feel like we've gone to Rosy.
Your namesake.
Okay, so Rosy. So this fragrance now is still... You know, it goes neck and neck with Dulce as the number one seller. I made this fragrance when I was pregnant.
Oh, really?
My youngest is 7.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's like a skin scent. So
yeah.
a true skin scent. And when I had, you know, I have 3 children, I got the worst morning sickness, like horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't, everything made me feel nauseous.
Yeah.
Anything, you know, my favorite food to eat was like bologna sandwiches, and I couldn't have anything that was too complex. I couldn't smell like herbs. I hated the smell of it. It made me feel so nauseous. So when I was creating fragrances, I was like, there's no way I can make anything I'm going to want to smell.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to smell clean and fresh. And even if I hadn't had a bath and I had been like vomiting all morning, I wanted something that felt uplifting and refreshing. And that was Rosy.
That is such a good skin scent.
It's so beautiful, and it has no really defining notes. Mm-hmm. So it's like an amber, a skin musk, and then it has like 1 or 2 of the tiniest drops of an essential rose oil.
Okay.
And it gives it that sweetness, but it doesn't, you can't identify the rose. You wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I can definitely smell it, but mm-hmm. it doesn't keep it so flat, right? And sometimes when you're working with like a straight up musk, or a skin scent, and they've become very popular, it can feel very flat, like very, it doesn't open up, it doesn't change a lot. And that's what the rose does for this one.
This feels like the most comfortable sweater.
Yeah, it is.
In your closet, or a warm hug.
Dude, this is my everyday go-to. And no matter what fragrance I'm wearing, I layer Rosy with it.
I could see it layering very beautifully with any of
everything.
These.
And I think because most of my fragrances have this very understated kind of skin scent base, it does layer so well with it. But, oh, it's just...
Oh, I love that.
It's honestly, I could smell it all day. And when I was pregnant, those first sort of 6-12 weeks, when I was super sick, after I came out of it, I would carry a bar of soap around with me that smelled like roses. And it was, Crabtree and Evelyn.
Oh my gosh.
And I would carry the soap in my pocket, and I would just smell it through the day, and it would make me feel like the same, like fresh, and like I just showered and I was feeling, I was tired. And so, gosh, that's, I didn't even think of it being that's why I added that rose. Everything that I make is so because of what I'm personally experiencing yes. at the time. So that's how Rosie came about.
And it's so funny that you say that, because as we were kind of going through how to format even just how this interview would run, I was like, so many of these scents are just, they are speaking to parts of your life, like love letters to yes. things that you've been through. And it's like, Rosie, it was probably a really difficult time, but also a really beautiful thing yeah. to go through as you're pregnant.
And I mean, oh gosh, I'm never going to say that morning sickness is beautiful for yeah, anybody. No. You're like, oh, but it, you know, it's transformative, right? So you, it is. And I think one of the most unique things, or I think what people hopefully love about By Rosie Jane and can see into it, is that it comes from a very true place. Mm-hmm. I'm not creating, or, and I don't even think that I would have the ability to create and just be like, make me a fragrance for that, you know, is trending about something, yeah. right? Like, it has to, for me, I have to be able to create from a place of truth and what I'm searching out, right? So, and the way that I do that is very visual, and I write a brief, and I visually put together a brief, and I'm trying to either recreate an emotion, a memory, a feeling, you know, a place in time. So,
I
yeah.
love that. So when you have an idea about, I want to commemorate this, what is that creative process like? You said you write a brief and then you kind of just go through iterations?
Yeah. So I generally, I'm a very visually driven person. So I will put together a mood board, and it can be anything that will sort of spark, right? So Missy, the fragrance that just came out, that idea of that came because I was, you know, I have a house in Australia. We're clearing out all of the closets. There's these boxes that my mom keeps, 5,000 boxes, right, of pictures. Mm-hmm. And we're going through, and I was like looking through all of these pictures, and I was like, my gosh, all of the old pictures that we used to keep in a roll of 25, which is what you used to have a camera. Yeah. There's maybe 3 good pictures, and then everything else is slightly blurred or like someone out of stock or in between, not posed. And I was like, you know, our life is made up of so many of these moments in between, mm-hmm. right? There's the one picture where everyone's posing together for the birthday, and then there's the 30 behind it that tell the same story but in a much more real way, right? Like what's really going on and the non-pose. So, and I love that idea. So from that moment, I then start like my creative process. So I put together a mood board. What does that look like for me? You know, what does it smell like? Mm-hmm. I want to be, you know, more inspired by moments in between. I build that. Then I write a brief, like a story, almost yeah. like a journal entry. And it can be, you know, super short or really long. Sometimes I go on for like 3-4 pages and I'm like, I don't even know where I'm ending up. And then that's when I start building. I'm like, okay, what are the notes that I want to pull on? Where is, you know, how am I trying to recreate this either emotion or feeling? But with Missy, I started there, and the notes that I started with and where it ended up being completely different.
Really?
Yeah, it was a crazy journey.
We should smell her.
I know, Missy.
I do love how just involved you are with every step of the process too. And I feel like personally, when I have gotten to know you through the fragrance launches and these beautiful events that you would throw, I feel like I got to know you better and better mm-hmm. each time. And every time I would smell the fragrance, I would think about this beautiful moment, like going to your HQ and meeting everybody that worked there. There were these huge vats of like jasmine, and people were mixing. Beautiful.
I know. It really, you know, that process for me, and being able to have such an incredible team that we own all of our supply chain and the integrity of the product yeah. has been such an incredible, I mean, really just sort of blessing. I'm like, wow, I can't believe that I get to still do and still mix all of my
for
product.
Sure.
So this is,
oh my gosh,
Missy. So what's crazy is that I think I went.
Have chills.
Oh, I love that. And with, you know, Missy is a pineapple. It's got like a sea spray in there. It has frangipani. It has a skin mask, right? It's like got all of these. It's like we say like a pina colada, coconut, mm-hmm. of course. But what's crazy is when I was mixing this is not where I started. And I think because I'm sort of following this almost like emotional journey, it's kind of like therapy for me.
Yeah.
I'm sort of going where I'm led. And I started somewhere much more clean with this. And I was like, you know, it's just not bringing something out in me mm-hmm. that I want to experience. And this is where it led me. And it became this very joyful, inspired by, that's it, just pure happiness and joy. Because I think as I'm looking through all of these pictures, everyone's pretty happy in there mostly, right? Yeah. And so that's what it is. Again, I love this sort of joyfulness also that youth has. I have three children. They're all pretty young, 17, 13, and 7. And I'm so inspired by them as well and their resilience to all of the stuff that they just go through.
Oh,
and,
sure.
Right, and even them with the pandemic. So Missy is just, it makes me just happy,
mm-hmm.
always. And it's a functional fragrance. It's our first truly functional fragrance.
Okay.
Which is this new incredible technology that is all about essentially taking molecules, their mood molecules, and working with them within fragrance to bring about the sensation or the feeling of happiness, joy, clarity, calm. You can really sort of pick your moment. And that's what I wanted to do with this one. I was like, this science is so in its baby stages and I don't even fully understand it. And I'm like absorbing it. And I'm like, this fascinates me.
That makes so much sense though, because you know, you can smell something and you remember exactly what you were doing on like May 5th, 1997. Yeah. And it's like, what is bringing this out of me? It's some pineapple note or...
Oh my gosh, it's the pineapple.
It's beautiful. And I do remember your event that you did for this. It felt so personal. Like, guys, she had us in her home.
Yeah.
She had us in her home, her beautiful, beautiful home. And you had a line, you were like, Missy is where joy lives. And that's where I wanted to have you here at my home.
Because
this is where joy lives. And those beautiful campaign images, I learned, were shot in your amazing pool.
They were. I mean, everything's close up. So again, it's like, you know, my husband and I built the house that we live in LA. And it's a labor of love. We really built it, almost felt like brick by brick, right? We bought this house in 2020 and really redid the whole thing slowly. And we love it. We're in love with it. Like every day we wake up and we're like, oh my God, do we live here?
Yeah.
And so when I was talking about where are we going to introduce Missy, I was like, it has to be here because this is my happiest place.
Exactly.
It's where my family is. It's where we spend all of our time. Every weekend is at that house. So yeah. That's why. But Missy, and this one again, people just loving and resonating towards in a way that before we launched it, I always get so nervous because it's very exposing. And
it
I was
is.
Like, oh, what if I send it out? And people are like, this is terrible. Especially after Dulce, which people were obsessed with. But I was people just love it.
I get it though, because you know, you have three children, but these are also your babies.
They
and you're
are
putting
very
so
much
of your heart so into much. Them. And I feel like that's why that resonates with so many people. And me especially, like this was a labor of love and I can feel the love like coming through in the pump, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which fragrance do you think was the most challenging for you to create?
Probably Missy.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Because I had had a different idea of what it was going to be and where it ended up. You know, it's because sometimes you can get stuck and think, okay, no, this is what I want it to smell like. And you just have to release, right? And be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to let myself kind of, you know, when I was talking about pineapple, I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, why would this, you know, association with pineapple generally is like not great for, you know, in the sense of the real essence of it and the fruit is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to capture, not this sort of candy-like pineapple that can be sort of cheap. And that's what – so this probably – and also because it's the one that I recently finished, so I'm like it's the most feels like the most difficult. They all have their own challenges. Leila Lou was the easiest. Rosie was probably the easiest as well. But, yeah, all of them, you know, because it's – I want to make sure that – you know, I'm always making perfume from such a subjective point of view initially, but I'm also wanting people to experience it in a wonderful way. So it's nerve-wracking. And then I'm like, am I too close to this fragrance now? Am I too, you know, am I not thinking about it enough? Am I not, you know, it's like a mental, it's a creative sort of challenge, I think, that most people go through.
For sure. And the closeness is a good thing, I think.
I know, but sometimes I'm like, wait, I pictured it like this for me, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I have to just let go of these certain ideas that I'm projecting onto it.
So, Rosie, I feel like you're the queen of clean. You kind of invented the category in fragrance, and I would love to take you through a Mythbusters segment, because there's a lot of misconceptions about, like, what is clean? What is a chemical? Are chemicals bad? Are chemicals in everything? Kind of.
Yes.
And there are so many thoughts around it. And I would love for you to clear up some of these myths.
Okay.
And I'll just
let's
say
do
a
it.
Statement and you can dive right in.
I'll say either it's true or it's not, and let's see.
Okay. So true or false, clean fragrances are completely chemical free.
False.
Okay.
I mean, and I think the word chemical is where people get like frightened, but you know, there's the word clean definitely does not mean natural, right? Like that's the idea that I think people, and that it also doesn't mean that it doesn't contain the word fragrance. We've had a couple questions before where people are like, oh, I thought you made clean fragrances, but I can see that your perfumes still have fragrance. And I'm like, well, fragrance is just the umbrella name for a bunch of different ingredients.
Right.
So that's false, that first one.
And if you think about it, like even water is technically a chemical. It's H2O.
Yes.
So just
anything.
Saying.
And it's just the word I think people are like have association with that they're like chemicals. Right.
Exactly.
And you think of bleach.
So true or false, clean fragrances are always natural.
No.
Okay.
False. I would say most, in fact, all the clean fragrances that I'm aware of now on the market that, you know, we sort of play in, I would say are absolutely not natural. And even, you know, by Rosie Jane, we are not natural. We have naturals that we work with, but you just cannot get the complexity within fragrance, the aromas, if you're staying all natural. But you can go like nature identicals or, you know, you're removing a lot of these parabens, these like buzzwords, right, that everyone knows about, hormone interrupters. You can still make these beautiful complex fragrances with better ingredients.
Yeah, and sometimes the natural option, not to cut you off, but like sometimes the natural option is not the kinder option. Some of these animal-derived ingredients, like we don't want to use that.
That's the thing. And, you know, natural, if you think about it, a lot of poisons are natural.
Yeah.
You know, right? It's like arsenic is natural. So it really doesn't, you know, the word natural doesn't mean better necessarily. But there is a time and a place for all of them.
Okay. True or false, clean fragrances are hypoallergenic?
Not all. No. False. Again, I think you specifically have to be wanting to create a hypoallergenic fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
So Rosie, strangely enough, is a hypoallergenic fragrance because of the musks don't have a lot of allergens in them. But again, natural, you are going to have more allergens as you go more and more natural because they're essential oils. They're made from flowers and most people have an allergy to flowers and pollen and what's in the air in springtime. So yeah, no, absolutely not.
Okay, gotcha. And to wrap things up, true or false, clean fragrances are better for the environment?
I think it depends. It's such a hard one. No. I would say some yes and some no. And that's where I think this word clean has just become so overused that and people assume that it signifies so many things, natural, environmentally friendly. Really all that word says is we're not going to use this particular group of ingredients in this particular fragrance. Your practices around it can still be bad.
Yeah.
You can have, you know, unbelievable amounts of plastic and no recycling programs and all of these things. But what I hope is that clean is going to sort of be the sort of leader in better practices within in beauty and period.
For sure. And I feel like it makes the consumer kind of think more about what is in their products and come up with a definition for themselves. Like, what does clean mean to you?
Exactly. And where, and you know, and do some research and look and where most, what I like about clean is that most clean brands tend to be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really see their practices. Therefore, no one wants to show you something that they're doing badly.
Yeah.
So that's where it's sort of nice to play around in that arena of clean.
For
these
sure.
brands tend to be pushing the envelope a little bit more on better practices and better products.
Yeah. Okay, so our last segment, and probably one of my favorite ones, is Scent Connection, which is a rapid-fire segment where I'm going to give you a topic, and I would just love to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
Because so many of the beautiful Rosie Jane fragrances are named after important people in your life, I would love to hear your thoughts on these amazing celebrities who are known by their first name. I'll say their name. You know exactly who I'm talking about. What do they smell like to you?
Okay. This is great. I'm always like, I always imagine what people would smell like famous people. Okay.
So I'd love to kick things off with Beyonce.
Oh, I mean, apart from the fact that I'm assuming she just smells like money and right. diamonds, I'm like, you know, she's so sexy and beautiful, but like sophisticated and like just she feels like caramel to me, like salty, but like something that is like, God, she's just like smells like sexiness.
Yeah.
I always think, but creamy, right? Like soft. Yeah, I would think caramel, like a salted caramel.
Ooh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's something.
I love that.
Oh my God, so good.
Next up, Madonna. What does Madonna smell like?
I mean, Madonna's like whips and chains, right?
Yeah.
But then with this incredible amount of feminism sort of thrown in there and owning your whips and chains, mm-hmm. right? Which I love about her. Probably, I'm going to say like leather and tobacco and like jasmine. Because jasmine sort of has this like, it's a natural, it's beautiful, but it has sort of like a decay smell to it, like in the most beautiful way, even though that doesn't sound great. But it like dries down. So that's how I would sort of see it. Sort of dark and yeah, broody.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. Especially as her now, Madonna now.
Oh my gosh, iconic.
I love her.
I love her so much. I also love Zendaya.
Zendaya's like a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stare at her. That's what I feel like if I was ever in the room with her, I would just be like that person just looking at her because she's so stunningly beautiful and different and just kind of polarizing. I imagine that she just smells like perfect skin.
Yeah.
Right? Like really beautiful, maybe an amount of sort of innocence thrown in there. So something like light and sweet, maybe like a vanilla skin scent.
Ooh.
Like very just, yeah, elevated.
But it'll surprise you.
Yeah, right? She's just, I think that she would be soft smelling. Like I don't think it would be a huge amount of fragrance.
Okay. How would Dolly smell?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Dolly's got to be like Americana, like sweet, apple pie,
yes.
right? Like cookies, mm-hmm. comforting. I feel like she's the person that if you told your darkest secret to or something comforting, you would just burst into tears because you're like, I feel so comforted by her. So yeah, strawberry, like, yes, decadent and sweet and expected. That sort of cookies, apple pie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can smell it now.
Oh my gosh.
And to wrap things up, Drew.
Oh, Drew's got to be just flowers. Just a giant room of the most beautiful, bright flowers, right? Rose, sweet pea, lily, like everything. Oh, she's so joyful.
Mm-hmm.
I always just get a wonderful vibe from her. But I would just think flowers, like a hardcore flower scent.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
And I think of the video of her, like, in the rain, so happy and just flowers blooming all around her.
She's just, yeah, but simple and again, like recognizable. I imagine that she just smells, yeah, sweet. Florally
well,
sweet.
Well, I'm looking forward to your celebrity collaborations.
I know. I feel like now I should do like a celebrity edition of like how I see like people and then see how close I am to it.
Yeah. Hey, have your people call our people.
I know, please. It's like a game. Maybe exactly. We could think of a fragrance game.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Okay, just to wrap things up too, I would love to talk about this exciting project that you were involved with the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, that was, I mean, we actually just did it yesterday. We were supposed to do it on Wednesday, but she ended up, the little girl, her name is Monica. She's 10 years old and she has a form of brain cancer.
Oh my gosh.
That pushes on her, the tumor pushes on her optical nerve. So she is losing her eyesight and she's already lost a lot of it. But, you know, she got sick on the day we were supposed to do it. So we maneuvered everything around so we were able to do it yesterday. And God, it was amazing. Her incredible family. She has four brothers and sisters. So she's one of five. She's the middle child. They came in and one of her dreams is to be a perfumer. She loves and makes perfumes at home all the time. So we invited her to By Rosie Jane headquarters and we did cupcakes and we created her own fragrance and we bottled it there and we made stickers and she designed the label. It was amazing. And we really went through a whole process where she was smelling and we, you know, created from the base. It was an incredible day. And she spent, I think she was there with us for like 3 hours. And now we're going to make her fragrance for her.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we're going to sell it on the website. And, you know, of course, all of the money will go to Make-A-Wish and Monica's family. It was incredible. It was such a moving, touching day. And, you know, I think she's like, she asked so many questions. She's so invested. She wanted to know every element. She's like, what does sugarcane organic alcohol smell like by itself? Can I smell that? And I was like, yes. So we were blending everything in the back, going through every part of the fragrance making process. And then she labeled, she capped, she did everything. So it was amazing. It was a really beautiful day.
Oh my gosh, she's going to remember that forever.
Oh, yes, I know. And it was, the fragrance smells great.
Yeah, what are some of the...
Oh my gosh. So we asked her what her favorite kind of notes were. She loved bubble gum. I couldn't find a great bubble gum note, but we found a cotton candy note.
Oh, amazing.
We had 12 notes. So it's ended up being cotton candy, sea spray, and what was it? And pineapple.
Oh,
I know, right? I was like, this is, and she was so, she knew, like we would smell everything. The way that I sort of do it is I'm like, smell this and then smell this and then give me, if it's not a 100%, we'll put it to the side. And then we, basically it's like a process of elimination. So we started with 20 different single notes and we break it down to like 4 or 5. But she was like, nope, yes, I want this, nope. But the cotton candy for her was everything. She was like, so we made it heavily based in that, but it's beautiful. It's like a sweet, it smells like burnt, like sugar in the best way.
Okay. Yeah. Like when you're at the fair.
Exactly that. And they had just been to Knott's Berry Farm the day before, I think, or the day before she was sick. And so she was like, I'm obsessed with the cotton candy smell. So I was like, great. It was wonderful. I felt so lucky to be able to do it for her.
I can't wait to smell it. And it's amazing. Sounds like she knows a fair amount about perfumery too.
So much. She's like, I mix, you know, myself all the time. But we gave her a whole mixing set and we had a jacket made, like a lab coat that says her name and by Rosie Jane Perfumer on it. And it was honestly, her mom was just so lovely, the whole family. And her dad is from France.
Oh,
and I was like, it's in your blood. You know, the French are the reason we all love fragrance so much. So it was amazing.
Well, I can't wait. And when is it out?
It will be out May 3rd, I think, is when we'll have it on the site. And we'll let everyone know as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love how you always are just thinking of the community and ways to spread positive change. And I don't know, you just kind of radiate sunlight to me.
Thank you.
I guess this might be a loaded question, but just to wrap things up, how would you like to continue using beauty and scent for good?
Yeah, I mean, gosh. I love the impact that beauty has on people's lives in tiny ways. And so for me, I think that as I grow by Rosie Jane, as I continue through, it's about staying true to that, really making products that make a difference in people's lives. And hopefully, you know, continuing to push that messaging, not just making more is more is more. It's like really staying curated and thoughtful in that process. And that's really, you know, I don't want to bring something out unless I have something to say and unless it's going to have an impact on someone's life. That's it.
Rosie, thank you so much for taking the time today. I could sit with you all day, but I know you've got places to be. But thank you. This was just a ray of sunlight on a rare rainy day here in LA.
I know, we're back to the rain. Well, thank you for having me. This is amazing. You know, I'm a huge fan of yours. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. So I'm so thrilled to be here. So thank you.
You've been listening to Scent World. For more unfiltered conversations with perfumers, visionaries, and fragrance lovers, follow Scent World wherever you get your podcasts. Scent World is a Scentbird original series produced by Flowship. Today's episode was executive produced by Maria Nurislamova, produced by Mike Giordani, edited by Ramiro Gava, mixed by Alex Roses, production support by Peely Melendez. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.